Hello, everyone, and welcome back again. I am speaking with Elizabeth and Andrea, and we are talking about sex trafficking, a little bit about human trafficking as well, and, of course, the relationship to modern-day slavery. Such an ugly but real part of our lives.
Yeah.
Modern-day slavery. But the good news you were sharing with me is something's being done about it. And I'm curious. We know that folks are being drawn into it. You shared with us some of the ways that people are being drawn into this. Are people getting out? And if so, how is that happening?
Well, we can definitely say that people are getting out. And a lot of it has to do with very hard work across agencies through different areas. You know, you've got the police force investigating, getting tips. You have task force that are working together, bringing agencies all together to do what we can across the entire state of South Carolina to make our state human trafficking free.
Yeah. And it's such an uncomfortable topic, you know, and it's not like one of those ones. But for us, because we're in the organization, we talk about uncomfortable stuff all day. It's second nature for us. It's not something that you as parents want to sit around like, hey, you know, here's some more corn. Eat your vegetables. Let's talk about sex trafficking. And it's very uncomfortable. But it's a harsh reality that if we're ever going to see a change in our state and in the world, we have to talk about it. And it's not. It's never too early to speak with your children on topics such as consent and boundaries and, you know, and just really pour into to our youth. Our youth has a lot to say, and we bring this up a lot, Andrea and I, with the teens that we work with. If you really want to make a change, just listen to the voice of these teenagers and these youth, because they have so much wisdom, so much to say, and that is where we're going to make the biggest change. It's not going after adults who already know right from wrong. It's these kids and these youth that are seeing it. They're watching their friends get into these situations. Let them be part of this movement to end it as well. Don't forget that they have a voice. It's not something that just turns on when you turn 18, when your voice matters. We need to listen to our youth.
And you mentioned earlier that part of the issue is some of these perpetrators do have a legitimate point when they say, we know your parents just don't have time.
Yeah.
So parents need to start making more time.
And I think it needs to come from a place, and I'm never going to tell a parent how to parent, but I definitely think leading from the idea of I'm going to listen to hear is important. I think a lot of times parents are protective because that's what, you know, that's what they want to do. They're your parents. Like, they want to protect you. I think if they could put everybody in a bubble and just, like, have your kid in a bubble for the whole time, it'd be fine. So I think they really want to do everything they can to keep their kids safe and healthy and happy. And unfortunately, in some cases, what the kid thinks is going to keep them safe, healthy, and happy differs greatly from what the parents think is going to keep them safe, healthy, and happy. So parents can lead very strongly with, I'm the adult, you're going to listen to me, and shut down the conversation instead of listening to some of the stuff these kids have to say.
These teens. So much wisdom.
I learn from I call them my teens, they're not my teens, but I learn from my teens all the time, and they'll check me all the time, and I let them, because I don't know their lives. I don't know what they've gone through. And a lot of cases, they've seen things and lived through things that most adults haven't and probably won't. So, you know, I listen to what they have to say when they say it. And I offer my wisdom when I feel like, you know, they need to listen to maybe some of my experiences, but yeah.
I was thinking about a 14-year-old who was here speaking with me several years ago, and she was talking about that parent-child relationship. And I was amazed. You talk about the wisdom of these children. She got it. She said, I want my mother to be my friend. I don't want my mother to be my buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was able to explain to me how she distinguished between the two.
Yeah.
Essentially, you mentioned, I need somebody to hear me. She said, I want my mother to be a friend with whom I can discuss anything. Yeah. She said, now, I don't go to the nightclubs, but I have friends whose mothers go with them to the nightclub. That's a buddy. She said, I can't respect a buddy who's old enough to be my mother. So my mother needs to be my friend, but I don't want her to be my buddy.
Yeah.
I don't want her going to the high school prom with me and her boyfriend and me and her boy, my boyfriend, double dating. That is not what I want. She got it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Right. And that's what the beauty is. And that's why I think I speak for myself too, is like, I wake up every day and I love doing what I do. I love community education. And Andrea and I both, we can go on soapboxes for hours and hours and talking about how wonderful our job really is. We get to do this work. We get to work with these teens and these kids. But that's also what we're here for. You know, we encourage parents. If you want to run something by us, like, hey, do you have any tips? Or I guarantee you, Andrea and myself have some sort of worksheet or some sort of activity or talking points to have these difficult conversations with your teens.
Yeah, and it's all based on trust. You know, the teen needs to know that you're going to trust them. And part of that is building on listening to each other, honestly listening to each other. You know, listening when the teen is basically saying, like, you are doing these things that are hurting me too, and stuff that parents don't really want to hear, because it's like, you're my 2-year-old, what do you mean, like, how did you turn 14? Like, I'm very confused. But it really does build from that foundation. It's so important. And, you know, there are definitely things that we encourage, like digital agreements, like, how are they using the internet, what apps are they using. If you can build that trust relationship with your teenager as they're starting to experience like Snapchat and TikTok and Kick and like all of these different apps that are out there, they're probably going to be more honest with you about how they're using those. And, you know, that's how a lot of times we see traffickers initiate contact. There we go. Words. That's kind of what we do, is we talk a lot about online safety with the teens, but then we also want to really encourage that conversation with their parents. We're not in your house. Like, we don't know. Like, we're not parents. So we really want them to always go back to the rules of the house, the you know, how they are being raised, like the things that they know they're supposed to be doing already. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, we've received a wealth of information from Andrea and Elizabeth today. No need for it to end here, though. There's an upcoming conference that they're going to share with us, and this is the point where I want you to be ready to write some information down.
We have an event on May 3rd, and it's free. It'll be from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Aiken Municipal Building in downtown Aiken, and that address is 214 Park Avenue Southwest. You can register for this event. It's absolutely free at becomingchainbreakers.eventbrite.com. That's becomingchainbreakers.eventbrite.com. Or if you have questions or didn't quite catch that website, you can call us at 803-649-0480 and ask for Elizabeth or myself. We will be hearing from three different groups across South Carolina. We'll be hearing from the South Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, who will be talking about the intersections of human trafficking with domestic violence and sexual assault. We have Katie Coleman and Sarah Ford from the South Carolina Victim Assistance Network, who will be talking about the many different ways that SCVAN can help assist with human trafficking prevention efforts. And then we also have Jen Thompson, who is the executive director of Lighthouse for Life, and Robert Healy, who is also a member of Lighthouse for Life, who will be talking about what they do as an agency for helping human trafficking victims and their prevention and education efforts as well.
Awesome. That's May 3rd.
Yes, sir. May 3rd.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we definitely want you to get registered as soon as you can. If you would give them the website and the phone number again?
Our phone number is 803-649-0480. You can ask for Andrea or Elizabeth. We will be happy to answer any questions. The website, again, is becomingchainbreakers.eventbrite.com. Again, becomingchainbreakers.eventbrite.com.
I want to thank both of you for having joined me today. Great conversation.
Thank you so much.
Like you said, not the most pleasant, but definitely necessary.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Andrea.
Yes.
Baisley Miller.
Yes.
Elizabeth, I was looking at your name tag.
Lamax. It is Lamax. I will go by anything. So Lamax or Lemax. Yes, I've heard it all.
Well, thank you both. And ladies and gentlemen, you get a chance to see them at the Cumbie Center Conference again, May 3rd, 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Till next time.